happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
That's right. We're right here at Sharp Passes Gallery, 4:07 in the afternoon, and it is a beautiful day out there. Can't believe the sun decided to shine. And I have Barbara Warner here. She has a business called Nurse Navigators for Integrative Healing, and she's taught at Clemson. She's done a lot of good things out there, and she's also gotten into some alternative medicine, and I think you'll find this very interesting. And maybe we can start healing ourselves, because you know what? With the government coming up with Obamacare, we may not be able to go to the doctor. So, Barbara, glad you're here today.
Thank you very much. That's the time we started looking at how we can take care of ourselves. That's right.
That's right. And I was just talking to her about Jeff's condition. Jeff, we'll be talking to you after the show.
Got some hot hands we're going to put on your knee.
That's right. Well, Barbara, let's see. You're from Chicago.
I was born in Chicago, raised in Northern Illinois. Yeah. I'm one of those Yankees.
Yankees. Huh?
I came down and stayed.
And how long have y'all lived down here?
Well, my husband was in the service, and I left the Wisconsin area when I graduated from college in my early 20s, and then we never went back north again. So we were in Germany, we were in the southern states, Alabama, Texas, Virginia, Georgia, and settled in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s.
Right.
So I've been here
since
then. So
you consider yourself a Southerner?
Probably.
Okay.
Not many Southern friends would consider me a Southerner, but sure.
Okay.
My daughter considers herself a Georgia Peach. She was born at Fort Benning, so
okay.
She's a Georgia Peach.
Okay. So as far as living in the South, I guess there's no chance, though, that you'll be going back north to live.
No way.
No way. Okay. Now, you've taught at, when did you move here to Greenwood area?
We moved to Greenwood in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Was that retirement or?
That was the idea, to find a place to retire. Mm-hmm. We looked all around. We looked in the mountains. We looked at the ocean, and we ended up getting a little card from the developers at Lake Greenwood, and we said, sure. And here we are.
Here you are.
We love it. Yeah.
You love it here. Now, I guess you kept working because you were working at Clemson.
I was. I had had a 25-plus year private psychotherapy practice in Atlanta. I'm a hypnotherapist and a psychotherapist, and I've done a lot of work.
Let's just hypnotize Jeff and tell him his knee is not a problem.
That's a possibility.
During the show today, we're going to hypnotize Jeff, and we'll see how it works.
The only problem with hypnosis and Jeff, he has to be agreeable.
Well, I tell you what, his knee is really bothering him, so he probably would be agreeable,
Barbara.
He might
be very agreeable, yeah.
So you had that for 25 years. And
then I moved. When we moved, it was one of those things where you don't pick up your whole patient load, your client load, and move them to South Carolina. A few
right.
folks followed me, but that, you know. And so I started throwing the resume around, and Clemson needed someone, a psych nurse, and so I started teaching in the School of Nursing at Clemson.
Wow. I bet that was exciting.
It was. And when I showed up for my orientation, I said, do you have a mind-body medicine course for your nurses? And my now good friend said, no, you can, but if you want to do it, you can set up a syllabus, find a textbook, and teach it. So that's what I did while I was there, in addition to the other things. But I taught an integrative healing course at Clemson to the undergraduates and then to the RNs who are becoming BS nurses, so bachelor nurses.
Well, that's pretty neat. Now, why is integrative medicine so important in today's world or any time, and how does that relate to what other societies have done for years and years and years?
Well, and it's so interesting because for many, many years, it was called New Age medicine, or
crystals,
New Age.
Crystals and all that good
crystals.
Stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, that can be part of things that some folks do, but what we're really interested in my business, is working with evidence-based practices that have had some research done. There's a wealth of research out there. And how it relates is, I was telling you before the show that we kind of were all born with decently healthy bodies, usually pretty healthy, and then we kind of abuse them through our lifetimes. And in our Western society, We take those bodies then, we take them to our family doctor or our internist, and we say, fix it. We absolutely abdicate responsibility and hand ourselves over to the doctor and say, fix it. They have been socialized to think that they have to fix it. So their fix-it modalities are usually by giving you medication or by surgery, things like that.
Sure.
And other societies, the New Age societies, like traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda from India, Native American healing practices, are hundreds and thousands of years old. And what's interesting now is that they are becoming the kind of thing that people are wanting to add to the kinds of things they get from their Western medical doctors. And it's not to replace. And I'll give you a definition for folks so they can kind of know what we're talking about. There's a term, complementary alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a term, alternative medicine.
Okay.
Basically, they're the same things. They are the yogas, the massage, the acupuncture, the herbal medicines, the meditations, the Reiki, the therapeutic touch. All of those things are under that umbrella of complementary alternative or alternative. What it means is complementary alternative is when it is used with Western medicine.
So,
if it's alternative, a person has chosen to use alternative medicine and they would not use Western medicine. So it's simply a matter of, are we joining them with Western or are we using them by themselves?
What are we seeing as being the most accepted methods, totally alternative or complementary?
Complementary.
Yes.
Complementary has had a lot of research done recently. Most every major medical center in the country has what's called an integrative medicine program. That's the new word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll come up with more new words. But Dr. Andrew Weil out in Arizona, the University of Arizona, has a wellness program where he teaches MDs in this integrative approach. So we want to bring in the best of both worlds, really.
Sure. Well, I mean, it makes sense. It absolutely
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So why is there not more of that out there?
Well, it depends on where you live.
Okay, well, we
have
a lot of it. What about in Greenwood, though? What about as far as in Greenwood, Barbara?
I think there's some resistance, and there's a lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
We were just speaking. We have been speaking to folks in some of the medical centers around here locally, and there is the perception
mm-hmm.
by a lot of people who have wanted to bring in this kind of thing into the Western area that the medical system, self, all, they're going to resist it. But what our experience has been
mm-hmm.
is that they are open, they don't necessarily know what's out there, and they don't know that there really is a lot of evidence-based research that's been happening. And so the one thing that we do get is that the docs may be concerned that we are going to suggest that we don't do Western at all and that we, you know, we just strictly go with this alternative stuff. And that's not the thing at all. We want really to have evidence-based practices combined with Western medicine.
So as we move forth with Obamacare after the first of the year, and we're getting a little less help with some of the things that we've gotten in the past, this alternative could come in, or integrative could come in very handy.
It's going to be vital.
Vital. Okay, see, you heard it right here on WCRS. Hey, I'm here with Barbara Warner. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. Don't you go away. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to get call us, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to be talking about a lot of fascinating stuff, so stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Happy days. These days are ours. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller. I'm curing my arm as we speak here today. That's right. I have just gotten a little advice, and I'm going to share it with you in a week or so when I check this thing out.
Good.
No, but, you know, we were just talking about off the air the image of being healthy and the image of doctors telling us it's going to take 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or maybe you'll never walk again, or maybe you'll never be able to do this again. What does the mind have to say, Barbara?
Well, the mind is vital. In fact, it's so interesting because one of the big criticisms of the research around mind-body medicine is that there's a placebo effect. The placebo effect simply means that the mind is what made the result happen and perhaps not the therapy or the modality that you're trying to test, which makes the research a little difficult in mind-body medicine, but placebo effect is really about the mind having the power that we do, we believe that. So for us in mind-body medicine, to say placebo effect is a problem, it's not. It is actually showing the power that the mind has. So what we have here is we have a mind, and our body responds to what the mind tells it is happening. So if you focus on your toe and you say your toe is hurting, give it a little bit of time, and it will hurt. Or you'll notice little twinges, and it will hurt. So the mind has a lot of control. And what I see as a sad thing in our Western medicine, at least, is, and I've been a nurse for a long, 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 long time.
Right.
And I've seen a trend away from being kind of encouraging and being a lot more realistic. I think they believe they're being very realistic. So they'll say, well, this is something that's going to take, you know, 3 months to heal, or this is something you're going to have for the rest of your life, or this is something you're never going to get off of, this medication. These are beliefs then that go to that person's mind. That mind then tells the body, this is the way you are.
Accept the way you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is a vision that the body grabs onto. And I believe, and this is just me, but we're talking frankly here,
right? Exactly.
That a lot of that excess honesty has come about as in an attempt to avoid lawsuits, because we're such a litigious society that, oh, my doctor said he's going to help me get better. And no, that didn't happen. And so doctors are really trying to give you the worst-case scenario, and now the mind grabs onto that, and many people are very susceptible, very suggestible, and mm-hmm. the mind just kind of cooperates, and the body cooperates.
Kind of like all the side effects that you can have from taking a medication. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever I see that on TV, I always go, well, there is no way I would ever take that medication, even though they say, in only 0.01% did we have these side effects. I am sure that that would be me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, well, as a psych nurse, years ago, when all of the Prozac and Zoloft and psych med ads came on television, I just cringed. Because I thought, well, here we are. We are a quick-fix society. We've always been a quick-fix society. And now we have another fix. If we're depressed, we don't go to somebody and get some help and talk about it and do the hard work of maybe looking at ourselves and maybe changing some aspects of our life. No, we're going to take a pill.
I have a good friend that's a psychiatrist, and all he does now is pill management.
Yes.
He manages it. He doesn't resolve it. Now, does he have some private patients that he works with? Yes. But the majority of them, it's just managing the problems with pills.
Right.
And that is such a shame for our society.
It's a big shame. It's a big shame. We started before the break. You made the comment, or I made the comment, that knowing about how to take care of ourselves is vital.
Right.
And there is a Dr. James Gordon in Washington, D.C., who has a mind-body institute where he trains professionals and others who want to learn about self-care. He has a model that he talks about as self-care.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going to have to really go to. Because at the center of his model is this word, self-care, in a circle, if you want to visualize it. On the outside of that center, around that circle, is all of the therapies that are out there, like acupuncture and massage and yoga, things like that, that can facilitate you taking care of yourself, exercise, nutrition, all of those things.
Sure.
The supports for the self-care. On the outside of the perimeter of this circle, very small in his diagram is what we now have, is medicine and surgery. But that's the last resort after we've done all this good taking care of ourselves and had the help. Then if that fails, then certainly we want these other things.
Sure.
Our current model has medication and surgery in the center.
Right. And that's a shame. And, isn't that part of the health care issues and everything out there? We're not taking healthy bodies into the doctor. We're taking bodies that are ill and even actually maybe even making them iller or dependent.
Certainly more dependent.
Yeah.
Yes, and I know people talk about this because I talk to people, and they know it, but they don't seem to have an idea of how to get out of it, and that's the idea of you take one pill, and after a while it may not work, so you may be having to take more of that same pill, or you may get another pill that's added on to the first pill to help that pill. And after not too many days or too many months or years, you now have to take another pill to counteract the effects from those pills. My father lived to be 97.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure he had great genes. They're not mine, unfortunately, because I was adopted.
Okay.
But he was a vitamin junkie.
Yeah.
And my husband likes to laugh because he met him in his later years, and he was complaining about his eyesight in his 90s, and he said, I just should have started taking that keratin earlier. So, Edmund, when did you start taking it? Well, I was in my 60s. I mean, he was in his 90s. He's allowed to have a little loss of eyesight. But
the point is,
he did not take any medication until the last 18 months of his life.
You know, that's phenomenal. And yet, you know, we had a society that was like that. I mean, how long have we been medication dependent in the Western medicine, would you say?
Well, I don't know about medication dependent, but I would certainly, as somebody who's, you know, got some prejudices in this area, certainly have to say it has a lot to do with what's advertised on television. And I know the medical community hates it when they see stuff come out because they know, okay, now my patients are going to start coming in and saying, hey, I want this for my depression. I want this for my back care. Tell me about my bones. I want something for my bones now, you know, this type of thing, rather than doing weight-bearing exercises because that's work.
Right. But don't you think, I mean, the 60s, the 70s, we weren't so dependent on Medicaid. That's what I was really asking.
Right.
The 80s, the 90s, when did we start getting just give me a pill or give me something to let me get through? I mean, that's what I was thinking. Maybe in the late 80s, early 90s?
You know, I think it's been real subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would fault, if you want to have a fault here somewhere, the drug companies. I mean, it's a money maker.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of money in drugs. There's a lot of money in pushing them. So.
And we're talking about the legal ones.
The legal ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's not a lot of money in sending somebody. Hello.
Yes. Healthy people. Yes. There's not a lot of money in that. Yeah.
Or sending somebody to do yoga classes.
Yeah, that's true. But it certainly makes you feel better, I tell you that, to
it
do
does.
Those type of things.
It does. Very definitely.
And to not have to take all these pills when we look at right now, of course, anybody that has a Medicare is looking at their Medicare supplements or whatever they're going to be fixing up for another year, trying to anticipate whether how many drugs you're going to have to be taking and what you're going to need. This is that time period right now.
Yeah, it's sad that you have to look at Part D and figure out if you're going to need better than you have now. And I was, for me, because I'm in that place, I've already done this, And, of course, I said, I don't want Part D. I'm not taking anything that costs me. I don't know, I'm not going to take Part D. But then I'd get penalized if somewhere down the road in my 70s or 80s I needed something. So I thought, geez. So now I am. I have a little inexpensive Part D.
I know. It's ridiculous. Hey, I'm here with Barbara Warner. She has Nurse Navigators for Integrative Healing. We are going to get into some of the healing properties of some of Eastern medicine, I guess you would call it, some of the Reiki and some of the other things that are out there. Acupuncture, have you ever had that done? I can tell you it works. But there's all kinds of things we can do as we try to avoid the fiscal cliff and Obamacare. So we've got to stay healthy. We've got to stay strong. You stay right with us right here on WCRS. We'll be back. If you got a question for Barbara, don't hesitate to call 229-7984.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Barbara Warner, she is a nurse navigator for integrative healing. What does that mean? She looks at all sides of it, not just the Western side. There's a whole lot of information that gives you a lot of better possibilities here. And one of the things we were just talking about is the effect of stress on the body. What do you say, Barbara?
Wow, is what I say. What people...
I'm good.
Okay.
Sorry.
What people don't realize, unfortunately, is anywhere from 75 to 85% of the things that doctors treat are the result of stress.
Oh, well, then I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
And unfortunately, stress does affect the chemicals in the body that help healing in the body. So we are decreasing our immune system, making ourselves more susceptible to things that the immune system fights on a regular basis that we don't even realize, and we prevent the actual chemicals in our body from giving us optimal healing. So, yes, stress is not good.
Well, I think, you know, and we've had a lot more stress because of the economy, all the things around us, so many people without jobs. I mean, we've had big problems here.
We have tremendous stress in all areas. In fact, before the break, you were talking about our forefathers. Their stressors, they had stressors certainly, but they were more probably physical. They had community. They had spiritual support from families. So they had some of the things that modulate stressors. And our society is very fragmented, very mobile, very very much busy, busy, fast, fast, and we don't have a lot of things that can help with modulate stress. And the stress that people don't realize comes from all four areas of the personality. So we have mental stress, which is our thoughts, mm-hmm. the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about what's going on in the world. Then we have, you know, our emotions, and a lot of times people believe that their emotions aren't important, so they stuff them, and that physical, that emotional stuffing gives a physical result in the body that's negative.
Sure.
And then you have the physical, obviously, that's the things that we deal with all the time, that we're very aware of our physical stressors, and then we've got spiritual stressors. And we've been, you know, we talk about the lack of jobs and the economy thing, that does give a lot of spiritual stress to people, not just in a religious sense, but in a hopeless, helpless kind of a sense.
Absolutely. So. And then, of course, we stress our children because we keep them so busy. You know, I think that is what, you know, I remember summer vacations were summer vacations. Anymore, summer vacations aren't that because we keep our kids so involved and they want to be involved. I'm not saying that they're forced to. They just, everybody gets wound up all the time.
That is really a very good point because we're socializing people to be wound up all the time or to be stimulated in some way all the time, either by the games constantly or the computers constantly or the shows or the tremendous action, violent stuff that's always on television. There's always this constant stimulation, which is very counter to what the body really needs to be healthy, which is calm and peace and quiet. Now, there's a place to let the adrenaline go and to get all excited. There's no problem. I love my, you know, action flicks just like everybody else. But I also take time to relax and breathe and listen because we don't know what's going on in our bodies until we listen. And we don't really know if we're a spiritual person. We don't really know if we're, you know, if we're in the religious side that how God is talking to us
mm-hmm.
unless we
mm-hmm.
sit and listen. And most people don't listen.
I know you're right. I know that, and I know so many people that adult people, whether they're kids or not, but adult people are working one or two jobs and still trying to get the kids to all their activities. So our young families, middle-aged families, they are doing double duty out there, and they do need that time just for mm-hmm. a little peace, and yet they can't seem to get it.
Right. You know, it's interesting, the whole thing of taking time for peace or taking time for ourselves.
You feel guilty when you do take some time for yourself. I can vouch for that right here.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was my next point.
Yeah.
A lot of times people, that's not being productive. It's not being, and yet, to know ourselves, we have to stop. We have to take the time for ourselves. And I tell people who are very giving, caretaker kind of folks, you are like a pitcher, a watering pitcher, and you're out watering all these gardens. And you've got to take time for yourself. You've got to be enough of a selfish person, if you will, who will go to a place, rejuvenate yourself, fill your pitcher up again, or you will run out and you will not be able to take care of people the way you are.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think this even comes down to, people taking care of parents. We're taking care of parents. We're taking care of our children. We're running, and you feel guilty if you take any time for yourself because you know you should be doing this, and this. And yet sometimes if we did that, we'd do a better job all the way around.
Yes, and really that is the thing you have to do first is take care of you. But that's, again, that's that whole mentality that we're selfish if we do something like that. And there certainly...
It started with the 24-hour woman back in the early 70s, I think. Remember when you could fry up the bacon and you could do this? Virginia Slims commercial, the 24-hour woman?
Right. And we used to call it, what was it? There was the type E personality. And because there's the type A personality, the B personality, but the type E was this exceptional woman that did it all.
Yes.
Perfect mom, perfect person at the job, things like that.
Perfect wife, yes.
Exactly.
Perfect everything,
exactly.
Yes. Well, and what have we found out? As long as you keep going, it's okay. There you go. It's when you stop, though, that you sit down. And sometimes I know when I stop, I'm more tired. Sometimes it seems easier to keep going.
The body is a machine, and it will keep going. The thing that happens when you're under a lot of stress, go, 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 is you've got a lot of adrenaline, and that does keep the body going, but it's also a teardown enzyme or hormone or whatever it is,
sure.
You know, for the internal organs. So
right.
You can go, 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 go.
Sure.
But then suddenly the body's going to stop and you'll have some sort of a disease to stop you. And I always tell people, slow down before the body tells you it slows down on its own. And then sometimes that's really hard. It's a hard slow down. It's a very big wake-up call when the body slows you down.
So what do you do, Barbara? I mean, what can you do? Or what do you... You know, I know that you specialize in visualizing, you specialize in all these different things. What should a person try to do if they find themselves getting all wound up and not being able to stop and just to keep going?
Well, Andrew Weil says that the one thing that we have that is one of the best things we can do, and it's...
Drink?
Free. No, it's free.
Free.
Okay.
Actually, not drink.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Breathe.
Breathe. You know, most people don't breathe, though, right, do they?
Right, no. Most people do not breathe. Especially women are some of the worst breathers. We're chest breathers, so there are lower lobes of our lungs that don't even get sufficient breath.
Mm-hmm.
Belly breathing or abdominal lower diaphragmatic breathing is the best. And
mm-hmm.
if you put your hands on your belly and breathing in, the belly rises, and that allows more space then in your chest for those lungs to expand, the lower lobes of your lungs. And then when you exhale, you contract those muscles. But a lot of women try to walk around sucking in our tummies, if we can anymore.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And do a lot of chest breathing. And so there's a huge area of the body that's not really even being utilized, and that has its health effects down the road as well.
Sure. I always know when I get out and walk, and if I'm getting uptight or something, I go for walks and everything, that I can put myself back in perspective here.
Absolutely. We do have to have a way to center ourselves. That's
mm-hmm.
what you're telling me you do when you walk, is you
right.
kind of bring yourself back to center. And anyone could do the centering if they would even, at this point, while you're listening to the show,
mm-hmm.
just stop while you're listening and pay attention to your breathing. What is your breathing doing? So while you're sitting there, just... No.
Okay, Barbara, go ahead.
So just allow the breath to be normal. Just watch what your breathing is doing as you're breathing in and out. Just sit and observe your breath.
Now, for those of you that are out there driving on the road, please pay attention to the road.
Yes. Actually, breathing will probably help you pay attention to the road rather than hyperventilating, which some of you may be doing if you're in traffic and you're upset.
Sure.
But sometimes all you need is three clearing breaths, kind of just that you've paid attention to, in and out. The exhale is the most important. The longer the exhale, the more relaxed you can be. So I would challenge you to say, do something like inhale to the count of three, exhale to the count of six.
That's a lot of exhaling.
It is.
And if you've only inhaled three, how can you exhale six? I got to ask that question.
It's actually quite easy because we have too much often in there, and a hyperventilation is when you've taken way too much oxygen in, and the body basically says, I have too much oxygen, I don't need to breathe. So that's when people have panic attacks, because the body's systems have actually shut down the breathing for the moment because they don't need any more oxygen. Then they feel scared, and then there's that whole panic anxiety thing that happens with hyperventilating.
Wow.
So the exhale is the most important. The one thing, and I guess I really need to put this in here because I hear it so often, people say, in order to relax, you need to take deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't say is, if you take a deep breath, you also need a long exhale. Because taking deep breaths could lead to hyperventilating, in other words, taking too much in.
All right. When we come back, Barbara, what should we talk about? We're going to be coming up on the last segment. What should we talk about? Maybe
we throw out some of the things that are out there and actually available in our community.
Okay, that would be great. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
Gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
That's right. We're right back here with Barbara Warner. She is a nurse navigator. She can navigate the ways of finding a way to I would say to make your make what you're doing in your Western medicine work with some other ways to get healthy. And, you know, the one thing that we don't want to end up spending any more time than we have to, I believe, is at the doctor.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're never, as going as a patient or going to, you're never really happy when you have to go to the doctor. In my personal experience, you always feel rushed. You always are trying to get out of there. They're trying to just give you something and move you on. If you could take care of yourself and add to having to go to the doctor, wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live?
It would definitely be a wonderful. And this is the kind of thing I think at the beginning of the show we talked about what some of the resistance, and I think there may be a certain amount of folks that believe in the Western society, the doctors perhaps, that, well, they won't come to us anymore, and that is definitely not true.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't be getting what we used to call in psych the worried well, the folks that can really handle themselves.
Sure.
But they need somebody to kind of hold their hand a little bit through it. And some, I think the docs get inundated with things that they probably don't need to be dealing with.
No, and I think a lot of people, as they get more dependent on doctors, they can't seem to break away from the doctor. Not break away,
right.
But, you know, stand back and say, I could handle this. I can, you know, maybe if I walked, maybe if I did this, I could start doing some of these things and make myself a little bit healthier. Mm-hmm. Not that you wouldn't still need your doctor, but we have a whole society that, well, I have people I have conversations with, the only thing they can talk about is going to the doctor.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I think that's sad. I think that's sad.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yes,
terribly
exactly.
Terribly sad. I have nurse practitioner friends, and they have told me, this is this whole idea how subtly we've been socialized toward more and more medicating, more and more doing something for the patient, rather
sure.
than requiring that the patient does something for themselves.
Sure.
She was saying that when patients come to her, they expect to be given something.
Yes.
That is the socialized expectation. And in return, doctors and nurse practitioners and people in those professions have a subtle kind of, I need to be able to help this person and give them something.
Sure.
So I have put out the suggestion, it didn't get picked up on, but I would love the suggestion, to have a prescription pad
mm-hmm.
that said on it, okay, your blood pressure is creeping up. We're not going to do medication. No, we're not going to give you that right now. But I'm going to, I have on my pad here, you're to walk 20 minutes four times a week. I want you to eliminate your salt. I want you to eliminate your, you know, your diet sodas, whatever it is.
Right.
Or some healthy things, you know, go do exercise, go do whatever. And then when you come back in a month, we'll see where you're at.
Right.
And if you haven't done those things,
we'll know.
We will, yeah.
We'll
have a problem here. They come, and we may end up with something like that in this current climate because we're going to be at a place where the government cannot afford to take care of all the people that we are
going to be taking care
going
of.
Going to be taking care of with the type of medicine. Now, certainly we're going to get, hopefully get more toward prevention and more toward self-care. And that's why I think we said that we might want to talk about what's available locally.
Sure. What is it? What is
so
available locally?
Interestingly, you might say, well, integrative medicine, alternative medicine, we don't have that kind of stuff in the upstate. But my experience when I was over at Clemson, there's plenty of folks around.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Aren't they kooks? Aren't they kind of kooks that do that kind of stuff?
Well, unfortunately, it is that kind of thinking that keeps them in the closet.
Yes.
So you'll have a massage therapist who may reluctantly say, yes, I do aromatherapy, and I can help you with some aromas, you know, some kinds of things for aromatherapy. There are whole textbooks, just like the PDR that you have for medications, for the various essential oils that can be used for various different things. My husband recently had a very severe burn, and we had a little experiment, and I insisted that he put lavender oil on part of his face, and he could put the Western medicine on the rest of his face.
Okay, which worked?
Well, I think he had to, they all at the doctor's office had to admit that his one part of his face was healing a little bit better than the rest.
And on the flip side, they were probably saying, but it wasn't burned as bad, right?
Exactly.
See?
You got it,
yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
Oh, that wasn't the part that was burned as bad.
Right, yes.
But anyway, so there are so many things out there. So there, and there's aromatherapy. You can get the essential oils at Whole Foods. You can get them at Nature's Remedies here. You can get them, there's a place in Anderson's. All sorts of places you can get them.
You have to ask the questions.
Exactly. My personal thing is I would love to see aromatherapy pillows offered to patients in the hospital. Lavender is very soothing. It's a healing. It can help with pain, and it can help with sleep. So some of those things could be modulated, and maybe we'd still give a little bit of medicine, but not so much, that type of thing.
Sure. So aromatherapy, that's one type. Now, we also, don't we have a little acupuncture here?
We do. I'm not sure exactly. I know there was a Chinese acupuncturist, a gentleman who would come into town. I think he was from Anderson. I think there was a gal who was here, and she's in Columbia.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who we have actually in town, but it's certainly available. I know we can find somebody if you want somebody for acupuncture, and I certainly have the name of folks in Greenville. There are definitely massage therapists. If any of you listeners have never had a massage, you need to get a massage. They're wonderful. I have them every other week, whether I need one or not.
You know what amazes me, Barbara? I'll tell you about massages. I'm not much into massages, but we have had young people working for us, and they'd have an exam. Oh, my God, I've got to go have a massage, and I'd be like, geez, just get to work. But, you know, they just really, young people particularly, seem to really believe in massage.
Well, there is this other generation that's come up that they probably wouldn't identify it as such, but they have a little bit more of a desire for balance,
mm-hmm.
and they have more of a desire to take care of me. Now, whether they do it well,
right,
whether they do it in a kind of a self-care model that we're talking about, but they do have that idea that I can take care of me without being bad, selfish, horrible, like our generation,
right,
who are the workaholics,
right,
you know, of the world, kind of.
Absolutely.
Are looking at things. But we've got plenty of yoga studios here. We've got yoga that is more active. We've got yoga that is for just back care. And I like to tell my clients and things, you do not have to be a pretzel to do yoga, because I'm not a pretzel and I definitely do yoga. I'm definitely not a pretzel. But I teach Tai Chi for arthritis. Which is a certified program with the Arthritis Foundation of the
Where do you teach
of America.
That?
I teach at Matt Works Yoga Studio.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm going to be teaching at Lander in April, but right now it's at Matt Works.
At Matt Works. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. We have been here with Barbara Warner, and you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Barbara, if somebody's been listening here today and they'd like to get some more information or catch up with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, you can get me at Barbara at nursenavigators4integrativehealing.org.
Okay.
Or you can contact me at 678-427-1404.
Okay.
Or you could contact Ann, and I'm sure she could put us together.
Absolutely, I will. So, Barbara, she has a lot more information. We just kind of touched the surface. We wanted to introduce this topic to you. We may be sitting down and doing some more of this so that you can learn how to take care of yourself. Because after the first of the year, a lot of things are going to change. And, you know, a lot of doctors are changing how they are going to deal with patients, this concierge medicine that they're talking about and this type of thing. It may not be as easy to go to the doctor as it once was, so you may have to come up with some alternative ways to keep your body going.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, Barbara, it has been absolutely fabulous to sit down here and talk to you. We're going to get Jeff back here in just a second after we go off the air and see what we can do for him. If it works, I'll be reporting on it tomorrow, folks. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. Barbara Warner, thanks so much for coming by to see us today.
You are very welcome. It's great. It's very enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
You can call her at 678-427-1404, you can email her too, but why don't you just pick up the phone, 678-427-1404, and we, of course, will be posting this podcast on the website. We should continue the video with Jeff Treatment here, but probably won't. Bye, everybody.